That's too bad. He stammered and poured the berries into the sink and ran the water. If you'd rather we do it another day, that's fine. I've got things I can do around here to keep me busy.
I had my signature notarized like I was supposed to, Riggs said, smugly.
I should not be punished for Bobby's forgetfulness.
I just meant...
Mason started, and then looked back over his shoulder. Rig was smiling, and when he noticed Mason turn his head, Rig winked at him. Mason returned the smile, some of the apprehension and unease dissipating. Rig didn't seem too upset, so, yeah, this was a good thing. It would definitely be easier to apologize for his shame in front of Rig instead of both of them.
Okay, he muttered. The beach it is.
Bobby grumbled something about it not being fair, but he didn't look as if he were too upset about missing a day in the sun. Mason had learned quickly that Bobby wasn't a big fan of the Florida heat. The love of the sun and heat was something Mason and Rig shared completely. After sending Bobby off to take care of his business, Mason and Rig grabbed a couple of towels, suntan oil, and a small cooler of iced-down water bottles and headed toward the beach with their lounge chairs.
This is the life, Rig said contentedly as he spread his towel out over his chair and stretched out. I could get used to doing this all year round.
You'd have to move further south, Mason commented, and stretched out on his lounger and grabbed the oil. Gets a little chilly here in the winter to be sunbathing.
Still would be better than getting snow and freezing your ass off all winter.
Mason poured a generous amount of oil on his stomach, and in the palm of one hand, and then handed it to Rig.
So why don't you move down here?
Mason was shocked at how much the idea of Rig and Bobby living next to him thrilled him.
Thanks.
Rig took the offered bottle and poured some into his hands. He rubbed them across his broad chest as he spoke.
Bobby would never survive the summers. Besides, we have a lot of amazing friends back home I couldn't imagine leaving.
Rig shrugged.
Though I doubt I'd miss him that much during the winter, he muttered wryly.
Mason couldn't help but stare at Rig's hands as they moved across his torso, his lightly furred belly down his thickly muscled thighs. Mason's mouth went dry and his head spun with the assault of conflicting emotions. Arousal, guilt, desire, disloyalty. He forced himself to look away, concentrated on the roll of each wave as it crashed against the shore until the sensation passed.
Rig, he started cautiously, without turning away from the gulf.
Hmm?
Rig hummed.
I'm really sorry about what happened this morning,
he said meekly.
Okay. Why do you keep apologizing for something I did?
How the hell is it your fault that I was having a dream about fucking and ended up blowing a load all over you?
Mason asked, incredulous.
Wait, what?
Rig's eyes went wide. I'm the one who thought you were Bobby and rutted like a fucking animal till I popped. They stared at each other for a brief moment, then simultaneously burst into a fit of laughter.
Oh, damn, I thought...
Mason gasped out between snorts of laughter. Mason wiped away the tears on his cheeks, took a deep breath, and cackled.
Damn, it felt good to laugh.
Bobby and Rig had been able to make him smile, make him forget about all the bad for a while, but he couldn't remember the last time he laughed this hard. His head was pounding, vision blurred, and stomach aching, and he didn't want it to end.
I must have been really out of it or horny as hell not to notice a size difference right away,
Rig commented when he finally got his laughter under control, but started to chuckle again when he caught Mason's gaze and wiped at his wet cheeks.
I think for me it was a little of both, Mason admitted. Plus, I had the weirdest dream.
From the way you were poking me, I'd say it was a pretty good dream,
Rig remarked and winked, still smiling. Mason's cheeks heated, and he rolled his eyes, but he didn't comment. They settled down. Rig went back to rubbing in the oil, and Mason went back to trying not to watch him do it. It wasn't easy. Rig was a very interesting man, to say the least, not to mention hot.
The laughter had helped to push away the war of emotions, and he pulled his shades down back over his eyes and relaxed. The silence between him and Rig was companionable, not tense as Mason had feared. The afternoon sun heated his flesh pleasantly, a slight breeze keeping it from being too hot. Mason thought he just might be contented enough to doze off, and he closed his eyes. Rig, however, was still feeling chatty.
So this dream.
What about it? Mason asked.
Weird is obviously a good thing, considering the outcome. Well, unless you were dreaming about animals or dead hookers.
Mason shoved up his glasses and turned his head.
Jesus, he squawked. No!
Rig's brow went up.
Does that mean you're opposed to such things?
No, I mean, yes, I'm opposed to it. That's just, no.
I'm kinky, but seriously, animals? Dead hookers? That's just...
Rig's expression showed no signs of humor. He looked... Christ, he looked serious. Did Rig dream or fantasize about such things? Mason wasn't one to judge. He damn sure had enough kinks of his own, but...
That's really fucked up, Rig.
Phew.
That's good to know because I don't do dead hookers either, Rig muttered, and laid his head back and lifted his chin.
Mason continued to gawk, waiting for the rest.
The animals?
Rig sat there, not looking at him, not reacting, just laying out on his lounger, totally relaxed, like he hadn't just been asking or talking about something so messed up. The silence stretched out until Mason's head nearly exploded from the thought alone. He couldn't stand it and blurted out,
Dude, please tell me you don't do animals.
Define animal, Rig responded nonchalantly.
Rig!
Mason jerked to a sitting position, hands flailing as he spoke.
You know, like dogs, cats, horses?
He shuddered.
Cows?
Rig waved him off with a hand.
I don't do farm animals, nor have I ever dreamed of it.
Jesus, the man was way too serious talking about such issues.
Rig!
Well, come to think of it, that's not entirely true. There was that pony once.
Mason's jaw hit his knees, and his heart literally stopped dead in his chest for a couple of beats until he noticed Rig's upper lip twitching, and he knew he was trying to hold back a grin.
You ass, Mason grumbled,
grabbed his towel, and threw it at Rig. Rig caught it easily and started laughing again.
What? I wasn't sure if pony play and furries counted or not?
Mason showed his relief by sighing dramatically and then laughed.
Not my kink, but hey, I'm not judging you.
The idea of Rig and Bobby dressing up in animal costumes and banging was something he simply couldn't wrap his head around. The pony play, hell yeah. He could see them wielding crops, adding spurs to their boots, and riding hard. But the image of Bobby dressed as a teddy bear popped into his head and Mason lost it, laughing boisterously again.
Actually, I can see Bobby as a teddy bear,
he managed to get out, causing Rig to join him in laughter.
He was a wolf, Rig snorted. And before you ask, it was a hell of a Halloween party and drinks were flowing and, yeah, just kind of happened. I see you as more of the big bad wolf and Bobby is...
I am so telling him if you say grandma,
Rig threatened.
Hadn't even crossed my mind. But I'm telling him it crossed yours if you tell him, I thought.
Little Red Riding Hood, Mason teased.
Oh, fuck. Now that's funny shit,
Rig chortled and held out his hand.
I swear to secrecy.
Deal, Mason agreed and shook on it. Mason grabbed a bottle of water from the cooler and held it up. Rig nodded and Mason tossed it to him and then grabbed one for himself before lying back.
Okay, you know my secrets. Now tell me yours.
Too many to tell, Mason said wryly, and unscrewed the cap and tipped up the bottle.
Then how about starting with the dream you were having this morning?
Persistent, aren't you? Mason muttered, and took another long pull.
I can be.
Riggs said confidently. But to be honest, I'm just really curious as to what tripped your trigger this morning. Mason thought about the dream again, and from what he remembered of it, it wasn't all that satisfying, and in fact, some parts were downright disturbing. It wasn't about furries or dead hookers, but it was about people who are dead, he admitted, and looked away. Dreaming of your doms? Rig asked gently. Mason nodded and fidgeted with the bottle, making it crack and pop as he squeezed it. Not sure why I was so ramped up. I mean, I don't remember all of it, but it was weird. Weird because we weren't all together. First it was Charles, and it was really dark, and then he disappeared, and Gregory showed up, but I couldn't really see him. There was this huge bright light that came with him, or from inside him, I think, hiding his features, but I knew. Mason met Riggs' curious eyes. You think it was trying to tell me something? You know, Charles being in a dark place and Gregory being in the light? Mason's gut nodded. You think it means Charles went to hell and Gregory went to heaven? No. Riggs' response was quick and sure, not a hint of hesitation, but he didn't expand on it. How can you say that so confidently? Because it was a dream, Mason. Nothing more, nothing less, Riggs said adamantly. There is no afterlife. Your doms are not trying to tell you anything or communicate with you. It was a fucking dream. Riggs' voice rose as he spoke, his tone tinged with anger. No external force. It's your mind. Your thoughts getting all wonky while you sleep. That's it. It was only a question, Mason whispered, shying away from Riggs' flare of anger. Fuck. Rig ran a hand through his hair and shook his head. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. The whole notion of he's trying to communicate or what do you think this means or that brings back a lot of bad memories. Bobby used to have a shitload of dreams after our boy died. He was convinced Stephen was trying to tell him something. It about drove him and me insane. Rig set his water down on the lounge and moved to sit next to Mason and wrapped an arm around him. That was insensitive of me, and I apologize. Maybe dreams help people deal, but for us, me and Bobby, it just made everything worse. Gave hope where there was none. You can analyze your dreams all you want, try to find some hidden meaning, but at the end of the day, and every day after that, your doms, just like our boy, are not ever coming back. I know, Mason murmured. I know they are not coming back, Rig. It's just, sometimes the dreams are good and... You wake up missing them even more, Rig finished for Mason. Mason lifted his head and studied Rig's eyes. From the expression in them, Rig's response to Mason's question hadn't been just because of Bobby's issues with it, but more than likely, Rig had experienced them too. Do you still dream about him? Rig shook his head. Not anymore, he admitted. Mason gasped from the pain that radiated across his chest. He couldn't imagine not dreaming about Gregory and Charles. It was the only time he felt close to them. Yes, there were times they were painful, even the good ones hurt upon waking. But to not have them at all? Mason hung his head in his hands, tears burning his eyes. Rig wrapped Mason in both arms and pulled him close, rocking him. I'm sorry, he said again regretfully. I know you won't believe me right now. I didn't believe Max when he said it to me, but honestly, one day your good memories will be enough. You'll be able to look back and smile when you remember them, and it won't hurt as much. Mason gave up the fight, unable to control his tears. He turned into Rig's embrace and let them fall freely. For the first time since Charles and Gregory died, he knew his grief wouldn't send him crashing to the cold, hard ground. This time, wrapped in warmth and understanding, it would be a much softer landing. Chapter 15. Protected from the harsh rays of the sun, Bobby sat beneath the large umbrella, sipping ice water as he watched Rig and Mason play touch football. They'd started out tossing the ball, which quickly advanced to touch, both men laughing one minute, cursing the next, as they tried to move quickly through the thick sand to avoid the other. Rig and Mason had competitive streaks, and the game was becoming something much more aggressive. Bobby winced as Rig went down, hard, face first, into the sand. Old man was going to be sore later. It was a damn good thing Bobby had packed the muscle rub. He thought it would be used after Rig's vacation time sexcapades, and couldn't help but snort, thinking instead its use would be due to a game of football. Damn, he hadn't seen that one coming. He bet Rig hadn't seen it either. Mason had profoundly changed Rig. When Rig had talked about what he had planned to do on vacation, not once had he mentioned cooking, cleaning, shopping, researching ways to cope with grief, therapy sessions with Max, or playing sand football. However, they'd done all those things over the last couple of weeks, and not once had Rig mentioned returning to the bonfire parties or asked to hit a club. Given Rig's high-powered sex drive, this was telling of just how much Mason affected him. Rig seemed content to spend every day with the younger man. Some days, they did nothing more than lounge in the sun, but there was a look on Rig's face that Bobby hadn't seen in 7 years. A look Bobby hadn't realized how much he'd missed until its return. It was the same awestruck expression that would light up Rig's features when he looked at Stephen. Rig wasn't the only one who had changed. As Bobby continued to watch the two men running, their muscles flexing and bulging with the exertion, it wasn't because he wanted to be rolling around with those two hot and sexy bodies. Sand in his crack was not appealing. However, it wasn't fucking, pain, submission, or domination that was on his mind, as it would normally be. Did he want those things with the men before him? Hell yes, but it wasn't the foremost thought on his mind. Instead, the first thing he thought was how he could see himself waking up with the two of them, cooking for them, caring for them, and not just while on vacation, but always.
Christ, you're going soft, old man, Bobby mumbled under his breath.
Mason rushed past Bobby's chair, Rig right on his heels. From the menacing growl Rig emitted and the deep scowl on his face, he wasn't as amused as Mason was.
Better watch it, boy. I do believe you have poked that bear enough, Bobby called out.
Mason's steps faltered, and he looked over his shoulder toward Bobby. It was brief, but enough to allow Rig to grab him around the waist and tackle him to the ground. The football went flying in one direction, and the two combatants in another. Bobby began to chuckle until he heard Mason's pain-filled yelp, and he was up and out of his chair in seconds, rushing toward them.
Ow! 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 Mason howled, and rolled away from Rig and grabbed his left leg.
Rig went to his knees and reached out for Mason, just as Bobby made it to them, but Bobby slapped Rig's hand away.
Where does it hurt?
Bobby asked, concerned.
Knee,
Mason gritted out.
Shit! Sorry, Mason.
Rig apologized sincerely. Mason was covered in sand, but Bobby saw no signs of blood, nor did the knee look deformed. He ran his hands carefully over the area, feeling for bumps or abnormalities, and was relieved to find none.
Can you bend it? Bobby asked.
Mason stopped writhing, but his expression was pained, eyes closed tightly, and jaw clenched as he moved his knee. Rig went to his feet, but hovered close as Bobby continued to check Mason out, Rig's expression nearly as distressed as Mason's.
Is he okay?
Rig nodded toward Mason's knee and asked, Anything broken?
I don't think so. To Mason, Bobby said, You want to try and stand on it?
Not really.
Mason grumped, but allowed Bobby and Rig to pull him to his feet.
Shit!
He hissed when he tried to put pressure on his leg.
Grab a side,
Bobby instructed. Rig went one better and scooped Mason up into his arms, cradling him like a baby.
Let's go,
he grunted, ignoring both Bobby's instruction and Mason's protest, and stomped off toward the house.
This isn't necessary,
Mason assured him. Bobby had seen that look on Rig's face enough times to know where his head was. Rig was intense when wielding a whip or flogger. He could inflict pain, beyond what some were comfortable with. But Rig never did it outside a controlled environment, or without a purpose. Knowing that he'd cause Mason unnecessary pain, no doubt was bothering him.
Might as well relax and enjoy the ride, Bobby chuckled. He's in full Papa Bear mode.
Rig snorted, walking quickly through the sand, easily carrying the smaller man up the stairs and to the house.
Hey, Mama Bear, he tossed over his shoulder as he stepped on the porch. You mind getting the door?
Guess that makes you Goldilocks,
Bobby teased and mussed Mason's hair as he stepped by and opened the door.
I feel more like a baby bear, Mason griped. Sorry you're stuck with Goldie. Not enough hair to be a cub.
Mason rolled his eyes at Bobby, and from the way he was biting his lip, Bobby figured he was fighting the urge to stick his tongue out, which caused Bobby's grin to grow. Mason's feet barely touched the ground, while Bobby held him as Rig rinsed the sand and sweat from his body. Rig instantly reclaimed his hold on the younger man, helping him dress in a pair of loose gym shorts. Mason looked to Bobby for help, but he could only shrug and mouth, "Sorry." Rig would not be swayed until he was satisfied in his own head he'd made it up to Mason by doing everything he could to help. Finally, Rig set Mason down carefully on the couch.
You got that ice pack?
Rig asked, holding out his hand.
Rig, I just jammed it a little when I fell.
Honest, I'm okay. Mason tried again.
That doesn't look like nothing,
he muttered, pointing to the dark bruise that was already visible on Mason's knee. He took the ice pack from Bobby and set it across Mason's knee, scowling when Mason jerked from the cold.
Jesus, Rig, would you calm the hell down? He's fine. Now go take a shower,
Bobby chastised, and shoved Rig toward the hallway. Rig continued to stare at Mason until Mason smiled and repeated for what felt like the 100th time, I'm fine, before Rig finally left his side and went to clean himself up.
Wow, he's a little
overwhelming,
Bobby laughed and carefully slid onto the couch, nestling Mason's head in his lap.
That's an understatement, Mason giggled. Damn, I can't even imagine what he must be like when he's in dom mode.
Actually, Rig is always very composed in a scene. Intense, yes, but every move or thought is controlled.
This, Bobby waved a hand unsurely, is his, I'm so sorry I hurt you, let me make it up to you, crazy man kind of shit.
Bobby ran his fingers across Mason's cheek and smiled.
He only does this when he really cares about someone.
Mason pushed into Bobby's touch and smiled back.
I like it, he admitted quietly. One part of me is ashamed that I feel that way. The other part is jumping for joy, not just for Rig's attentions, but for yours as well.
Why ashamed?
Mason looked away, a thoughtful expression crossing his features, as if he were choosing his words carefully.
It feels like cheating,
Mason murmured so low Bobby was barely able to make out the words.
You mean you feel as if you're cheating on Gregory and Charles?
Bobby asked gently. Mason nodded, still staring off toward the opposite wall. Bobby ran a hand across his jaw and back to his neck, rubbing at the muscles that began to tighten.
Fuck, He knew that feeling all too well. He'd experienced it, and there was no worse feeling than feeling as if you were cheating on a dead loved one. Bobby sat quietly thinking about how to approach the subject. On one hand, he knew it wasn't cheating. Yet on the other, it didn't matter what you told yourself if the heart didn't believe it. He took a deep breath, then let it out slowly before addressing Mason.
I felt like that at first, when Rig and I first started talking about finding another sub to enjoy. I had no desire to replace Stephen, but I did miss having a boy to teach, guide, and care for. But you know what?
He asked, cupping Mason's cheek and turning his head until their eyes met.
I finally had to ask myself, would I be happy if Stephen had been left alone, with no one to care for him, love him? The answer was a resounding no. I'd hoped that if I couldn't be there, someone else would step in and take care of my boy for me. The thought of him being alone and hurting?
Bobby shook his head.
No way! And I also realized that Stephen wouldn't want that for me. He would be heartbroken to know that Rig and I were living the rest of our lives in the past, mourning him, and not living our lives to the fullest.
He gave Mason a small, sad smile as his chest tightened.
He'd want us to be happy. And from what you've told me of your doms, they would want you to be happy and well cared for, like they cared for you.
I know. It's just... Mason worried his bottom lip with teeth, his eyes a little glazed with unshed tears. I miss them so much. I miss my routine. I miss knowing where my place in the world is, and I miss taking care of someone. But most of all, I miss just being held, being loved.
Come here,
Bobby encouraged, and pulled Mason up onto his lap, careful not to jostle his leg too much, and wrapped him in a tight embrace. Mason buried his face in Bobby's chest, and sighed contently as Bobby held him and stroked a hand along Mason's back.
There's nothing wrong with needing to be held and loved, Mason,
Bobby murmured, and kissed the top of his head.
We all need to feel connected to another human being. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with needing someone or leaning on them when you can't quite stand up on your own,
he said adamantly.
I just worry that I'm using you and Rig. Max, too, for that matter. My head is all messed up, and I don't know if I'm feeling this for you and Rig because I'm sad and lonely, or if I actually feel something more, you know?
Mason lifted his head and met Bobby's gaze unerringly.
I don't like using people.
Rig and I have a lot of experience helping people find peace. It's kind of part of the job of a dom.
Bobby chuckled softly.
So how about you let us try and help you find some peace, a balance in your life with no promises for the future?
You would do that?
We already are, Mason, and we don't expect anything in return except your honesty, okay?
Mason tilted his head, studying Bobby for a long, drawn-out moment before finally nodding his head just slightly.
Yeah, okay, I can do that, but...
But what?
Bobby encouraged.
I don't know if I can call either of you sir yet.
Mason lowered his eyes and fussed with the fabric of Bobby's t-shirt.
And it felt a little weird to hear you call me boy.
You don't have to call either of us sir, but the other one is going to be a little difficult. I will try my best not to call you boy,
Bobby promised.
I don't mind, Mason said sheepishly, without looking up. It was just weird to hear it again.
Hear what again?
Rig asked, coming into the room in just a pair of shorts, running a towel over his hair.
Our young Mason found it weird that I called him boy, Bobby informed Rig.
Rig's brow furrowed as he came around the couch and looked questioningly back and forth between Bobby and Mason.
You did?
Mason nodded.
Well, don't call him that anymore,
Rig said easily, and carefully lifted the ice pack from Mason's knee, inspecting the injury.
Does it still hurt?
He asked Mason, and then tossed the pack on the table when Mason shook his head.
If it starts to bother you again, we can re-ice it in an hour. You need to stretch out and keep your leg elevated.
Rig sat on the couch, and Bobby noticed the ace bandage in his hand.
Oh yeah, Rig was in full papa mode, and although Bobby had to force down the laughter that threatened, he allowed Rig to pull Mason from his lap, until Mason's head was once again in Bobby's lap, and his legs were resting on Rig.
Is that really necessary?
Mason whined, the sound revealing how much the injury bothered him as Rig began to wrap it.
Sorry, Rig grunted when Mason winced. I'm almost done, and yeah, it's necessary. The compression bandage and keeping it elevated will keep the blood from pooling, which will diminish the inflammation.
Said Dr. Rig, Bobby teased, for which Rig rewarded him with a glare.
Once the bandage was in place and Rig was convinced it wasn't too tight, because he'd asked the poor man enough times, Rig sat back, but his eyes stayed on Mason's knee.
Thank you. It feels much better.
Mason sat up and placed a small kiss on Rig's cheek.
It was an accident, and you're forgiven.
Rig's face turned a lovely shade of pink as it finally set in how nuts he'd been, his lips curling into an embarrassed grin, and he shook his head.
Lay down. You're supposed to have it elevated,
Rig said, gruffly, but he was still smiling. Mason happily did what he was told and winked up at Bobby once he was stretched back out.
So what were you talking about? How to get rid of me?
Rig accused.
On the contrary, Bobby said.
Rig looked at him in surprise, but Bobby just shook his head.
I'll fill you in later. How about for now I call and order us a pizza, and we can check out what's on TV?
Sounds good to me, Mason agreed. Anything but anchovies.
Rig was still looking at him with a strange expression, and Bobby mouthed, later, then smiled to let him know everything was fine before he pulled out his cell.
Please tell me you know the number, Bobby groaned, not wanting to get up.
Mason rattled off the number quickly, and Rig flipped on the TV. As Bobby dialed the number, it hit him again how strange it was that he wasn't disappointed the day would end without two hot, sweaty bodies rolling around with him. But how perfect a night snuggled on the couch, watching TV and eating pizza with these two men sounded.
Yep, you're definitely getting old, Bobby boy.
Chapter 16. After a week of nearly complete inactivity, his knee was fine. The ugly bruise made it look worse than it felt. Mason didn't have the heart to tell Rig that the soreness he was experiencing was more likely due to his muscles needing to be stretched and worked. But he could also admit he really liked being waited on and coddled by Rig and Bobby. Rig had approached him the morning after Mason's fall, and they'd discussed cheating. Rig had said many of the same things Bobby had, and shared his own struggles with it after their sub died. He hadn't told Mason how to feel or how not to feel, simply told him that he'd know when the time was right to let those uneasy feelings go and start living again in the here and now. Rig also told him to take all the time he needed, and not to let anyone push him into something he wasn't ready for. Funny. Max had said the exact same thing. It was up to him to sort through his feelings. With all the free time on his hands, sometimes bored out of his fucking tree like he was now, he had plenty of time to think about how he felt. It was like he was this giant rubber band, his guilt pulling him one way, his attraction for Bobby and Rig pulling even harder in the other direction. At some point, he knew he would snap, because a soreness in his knee wasn't the only thing on his body that was aching. With the way Papa Bear and Mama Bear were constantly hovering around him, touching him, looking at him, he was starting to get edgy as hell. Mason moaned as he thought about the way they wrapped around him while he slept, and how it was becoming increasingly more difficult to fight the attraction and the battle he fought with himself when the desire to touch them became so overwhelming. What he really needed at the moment was some alone time. Mason scanned the immediate area. He could hear Bobby in the kitchen, and he was pretty sure he'd heard Rig step outside. Swallowing down his grunt of pain as he pushed himself up off the couch, he tiptoed past the kitchen where Bobby was at the sink, cutting veggies, or washing meat, or whatever prep work he was doing for dinner. Mason let out a breath when he made it to the bathroom, undetected, and in his haste to get into the shower, he didn't bother shutting the door. Which he realized was a huge mistake once he was under the flow of the showerhead and had a soapy hand wrapped around his straining cock, stroking himself.
"Hey, you should have called me. I'd have helped you get into the shower," Rig said from just outside the shower curtain.
Fuck! He hadn't even heard Rig come in the room. Mason's cheeks heated. He felt like a teen who had just been caught beating off. He jerked around, trying to shield the evidence, and his weak knee twisted. Mason cried out in alarm and flailed, trying to find purchase on the slick wall of tile.
"Whoa there," Rig said, as strong arms grabbed Mason around the waist at the last minute before he could land on his ass.
To Mason's dismay, he ended up facing Rig, and his erection, red and straining proudly, poked Rig in the thigh. Mason didn't even try to explain, because really, what could he say?
Damn, I should have knocked," Rig murmured.
He swallowed hard, and from the heat and desire in Rig's heavy-lidded eyes, he was very aware of the hard dick jabbing into his thigh.
"What's going on? I heard Mason yell."
Mason heard Bobby speaking, heard him rush into the bathroom, but Mason couldn't speak, nor could he turn away from Rig's hungry gaze. Rig seemed to be just as captured in the moment as Mason was, as he didn't respond, nor did he turn in Bobby's direction either. They continued to stare at each other. The want and need between them raged like a lightning storm, arcing and lighting up the whole fucking room. Without conscious thought, Mason wrapped his arms around Rig's neck, grabbing a handful of hair, and smashed their mouths together. Mason moaned as Rig pushed his tongue past Mason's lips, and Rig's flavor exploded on his tongue. He wasn't the least bit passive, as he normally would be, but instead, his tongue battled alongside Rig's, trying to force the kiss deeper, giving as good as he got. Rig and Bobby had treated him with kid gloves the past week, but there was nothing childlike in the way Rig devoured Mason's mouth. All teeth and lips and tongue. It was a brutal kiss that sent Mason's pulse racing and his dick throbbing. All thoughts fled. There was no past or future, only this moment. And Mason gave over to the pleasure searing through his system. His hips snapped as a heavy hand wrapped around his cock and began to pull in hard, even strokes. At some point during the kiss, Mason's natural inclinations moved to the forefront, and he opened his mouth wide, no longer battling for control, but allowing Rig to direct Mason's body however he wanted, submitting completely and freely to the lust his body demanded as Rig continued his sensual assault.
"You're so goddamn gorgeous, Mason,"
Rig growled huskily against Mason's mouth.
"Take my fucking breath away."
Mason could only cling to Rig's soaked t-shirt and wet hair, moaning as his arousal spiraled higher and higher until every nerve ending in his body tingled and a thrill raced down his spine. He was like a man starved too long, and he wanted to savor each stroke of Rig's hand, each swipe of his wet, wicked tongue. Wanted to lose himself in the sensation of bliss that surrounded him and held him hard and hot and so fucking perfect. But even as he fought to slow his racing heart and panting breaths, tried to find the reins that would hold back his orgasm, Rig continued to push him closer and closer.
"Bobby is watching me stroke you,"
Rig said, in a low, gravelly voice that only fanned the flames of Mason's desire. Rig scraped his teeth across Mason's bottom lip, then nipped hard. The little spark of pain caused Mason to arch his back.
Fuck, do that again,
he shamelessly begged, too far gone to care.
He's watching my hand move along your pretty prick, wishing it was him.
Rig moved his mouth along Mason's jaw and nipped the skin below Mason's ear, causing him to jerk.
Wishing it was his mouth around your cock, sucking you, tasting you.
The last shred of Mason's control was ripped from his grasp when he turned his head and met Bobby's lust-filled eyes from across the room. Mason's cry of pleasure echoed off the tiled walls as he came in pulses, his cum fountaining over Rig's fist as he tightened his grip, speeding his strokes until he drained every drop from Mason. Mason shuddered, pushed Rig's hand away from his overly sensitive prick when it became too much, and clutched Rig's t-shirt and locked his knees, waiting for the guilt to crush him and drive him to the floor. But it didn't come. Instead, he got another set of strong arms around him, a broad chest pressed against his back, and he was enveloped in Bobby and Rig. The warm water rushed down on them, the steam surrounding them like a cocoon. The two men held Mason until his breathing and heart slowed closer to a normal level, and Mason wanted to weep with how good it felt. He could feel the hard cock pressed against his stomach, another against his ass. But neither man seemed in a hurry to relieve themselves. They simply held Mason. Rig kissed the top of Mason's head, then leaned just enough so he could press a kiss to Bobby's lips. Mason pulled back and rested his head on Rig's shoulder and watched them kiss. It struck him odd at how gentle the press of lips was. Rig gently sucking on Bobby's lower lip, then releasing it to trace Bobby's mouth with the tip of his tongue. The hard cock against Mason's stomach twitched, and as if on cue, Bobby slowly went to his knees and nudged Mason out of the way, but still held him close by wrapping his arm around Mason's thighs. With his other hand, Bobby carefully pulled at the waistband of Rig's shorts, exposing his very large, very hard cock. Bobby then pushed his own shorts down just enough to grasp his length in a fist and stroked himself as he took Rig into his mouth. Rig and Bobby didn't exclude Mason from their pleasure. Both men held him close, allowed him into their intimacy. Rig grasped his erection with one hand, guiding it slowly in and out of Bobby's mouth, as the fingers of his other hand tangled in Mason's hair and held his head against Rig's shoulder. Bobby continued to stroke himself while he massaged and kneaded the flesh of Mason's thighs, ass, and lower back. Mason couldn't remember the last time he'd seen or felt anything so beautiful. Once again, Mason was struck dumb by how these two men had come into his life, put his needs above all other things, and asked for nothing in return. Mason felt tears burn his eyes as Rig found his release, all the while holding Mason, murmuring soft words, and laying kisses against Mason's head. The tears that threatened fell down Mason's cheek, not from the odd look in Bobby's eyes as he stared up at Mason while he shot out his pleasure, but from the way they cared for each other, touched each other, and Mason. He couldn't speak, his emotions too raw, his words stuck in his throat, and his chest ached as they washed him and each other silently. No words were necessary. A connection born out of pain and loss was solidified while standing under the spray of cascading shower. Or maybe he just hadn't realized that it had been growing stronger and more complete each day they spent together, and only now comprehended the significance of their relationship. Mason was still pondering this question, trying to figure out just when these men had burrowed past his despair and doggedly found a way into his heart. As they all dried each other and he followed them into the bedroom. Rig pulled back the covers on the large, king-size bed, and Mason, without hesitation, lay in the middle, welcoming the men as they each lay down on either side of him. He pushed close, and Rig placed a hand on Mason's chest, Bobby placing his just below it. The silence that followed wasn't uncomfortable. It was peaceful. He had no doubt that whatever barrier or obstacle they had just crossed, Rig and Bobby were feeling it too. Mason could feel it in their touch, had seen it in their eyes, and it was as if none of them wanted to speak and break the delicate bubble that surrounded them in this perfect little world. Later, reality would come rushing back, but for now, they all just basked in the contented quiet and held each other. Chapter 17. Sitting at the small desk in the spare bedroom, Mason fired up his laptop, and with a few strokes of the keyboard, Max's smile face popped up on the small screen.
Morning, Mason. How are you doing today?
Mason waved at the webcam, smiling brightly.
I'm awesome. I had the most amazing day yesterday.
On the screen, Max leaned back slightly.
Yeah? What made you so awesome?
Mason frowned. Max wasn't in his office. The wood-paneled wall behind him was an unfamiliar one. He'd chatted with the therapist from his office and home, but he'd never seen this darkened place. And what the hell was Max wearing? Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Max wasn't wearing anything. Well, at least not from the waist up that was visible. He knew Max had an impressive physique. He'd felt the hardness in his body when Max hugged him, had an appreciation for the bulging muscles from the way the ridges of them had been highlighted by the tight t-shirts he wore. But without a shirt, Max was fucking glorious. He had dark hair across his upper chest that thinned down to a small line, which ran from his navel downward, and gold rings in both small dark nipples, which reflected the light of an unseen bulb. Mason's mouth went dry, and he leaned closer still to get a better look. He rolled his eyes at himself and huffed when he tried to look over the edge of the screen.
"Where the hell are you?"
Mason asked, his voice sounding thick and gravelly.
"And for God's sakes, put a shirt on or tilt your webcam up or..."
Mason grumbled and ran a shaky hand through his hair.
"How are you supposed to therapeutize me while you're dressed like..."
Mason flopped his hand at the screen, ineffectively, while he tried to find the right words. When he couldn't voice what it was he was trying to say, he frowned and pointed an accusing finger at Max.
"You're quite the distraction."
Max's lips twitched as he tried not to smile, but to Mason's relief, moved closer to the webcam and tilted it up so only his face was showing.
"I'm not home."
He looked away towards something, off-screen, and the smile that he'd been trying to hold back spread wide across his face at whatever he was looking at.
"I had kind of a late night,"
he said smugly, when he turned back to face Mason.
"So, about your amazing day?"
he prompted.
"We can talk about it later,"
Mason assured him.
"I'm in a really good mood, so no worries. Go have fun." "He just started breakfast, so we have time. Now spill it,"
Max demanded.
"I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours,"
Mason bargained.
"I forced myself out of a very warm bed, which, I may add, had a very, very hot man in it, and rushed to take a shower so I could chat with you. So if you don't start talking, I swear to fuck I will come through the screen and paddle your naughty ass."
"Promise?"
"Mason," Max said warningly.
Mason held up his hands to show his surrender.
"Okay, okay,"
he giggled and leaned back in his chair, taking the laptop with him. He spun the office chair around, propped his feet up on the guest bed, and adjusted the screen so Max would get a full view of his face.
"What was the question again?"
Max raised one brow, and his smile turned into more of a snarl.
"Oh yeah, right, my awesome day. I think I've overcome the next big obstacle. You know, how we were talking about my attraction to Rig and Bobby and how I felt like I was cheating?"
"Yes."
Well? Mason's face heated, and warmth rushed to his groin as he thought about the shower he'd taken with Bobby and Rig. I was sort of kind of jerking off in the shower, and Rig came into the bathroom and caught me. Then he was in the shower with me, and Bobby showed up, and he ended up on his knees, and... Mason scratched at the stubble on his chin. His hand trailed down his neck, and he rested it against his chest. He could feel the flutter of his rapid heart beneath his palm. Just the memory of it filled him with pleasure. Afterwards, I waited for the guilt to knock me on my ass, but Max, it didn't, and it still hasn't. I'm totally fucked up. Defective, aren't I?
Why do you think that? Max asked.
Well, because I should feel guilty, shouldn't I? Mason shrugged one shoulder. I mean, I haven't been with anyone besides Gregory and Charles in over 12 years. They were pretty possessive of me, and after just a couple of months, I'm not with one but two men. And Christ, Max, it felt so good, and they care about me so much. And I just want to let them hold me and love me and... Mason looked down at his hand and picked at a hangnail on his thumb, while taking in a couple of deep breaths before returning his gaze to Max. I'm not sad when I'm with them, he quietly admitted. It's like they touch me or look at me and the sadness and pain just flies out of me. I think about them all the time, and I'm even starting to dream about them instead of Gregory and Charles. It's just wrong.
Does it feel wrong, Mason?
Mason shook his head and whispered, No, but it should.
Why would something that obviously has you smiling and happy be wrong?
Rage at Max's calm, quiet voice reared up so rapidly and so unexpectedly it caused Mason's head to spin.
Because the men I love are dead, Mason spat angrily. I'm not supposed to be fucking happy.
Just as quickly as it came, the anger flowed out of him, and he slumped back in his chair, dazed.
I'm sorry, he said dejectedly. I have no idea where that came from or why I said that.
Because you believe you're supposed to behave one way, and your head and your heart aren't playing along with this methodized notion you've determined is appropriate, Max said evenly.
Mason, we all grieve at different rates. There's no preset time frame that works for everyone.
Max cocked his head, and a muffled voice could be heard through the speakers. But Mason couldn't make out what was being said.
I love one, Max called out.
He turned his attention back to Mason.
Sorry, I haven't had my coffee yet,
he said with a lopsided grin that made him all the more handsome and sweet-looking.
It's okay, Mason promised. It's not like I can fire you or refuse to pay you as punishment.
Very true, Max chuckled. Hold on one second, and I promise you will have my full attention for the next 30 minutes, okay?
Sure.
Max sat back, and long, thin fingers wrapped around a white mug appeared on the screen. Max accepted the coffee with a thank you.
Mason didn't miss the way that Max's finger brushed along those fingers as he took the mug,
nor did he miss the way Max's eyes sparkled and the beautiful smile that curled Max's full mouth. Whoever was standing just out of view was one very lucky boy, because Mason had seen that look on a man's face before. Max was totally smitten and, Mason would wager, hopelessly in love.
I'm all yours, Max said, and blew into his mug.
I highly doubt that, Mason teased. I'd say whoever just handed you that cup of coffee might have something to say about that.
So, about Bobby and Rig, Max said, ignoring Mason's jab.
But the way Max's eyes shifted to the right, and the expression that briefly crossed his features as he watched the other man walk away, told Mason how right he had been. Max took a sip of his coffee and set it aside.
You know, with Bobby and Rig around, Max said, steering the conversation away from him and back on Mason. It's almost impossible to feel sad for any length of time. They are good men, and you can't help but feel good with those two bastards around.
Mason felt some of the tension and worry seep from him.
And it's difficult for sure. It's like they just swept in and took on this broken man, and they aren't expecting anything in return.
Mason shook his head.
Who does that, Max?
Bobby and Rig, he said without a hint of doubt. I've known them for many years, and I can't think of two better people to have taken care of you than them.
I'm worried I won't be able to give them anything in return,
Mason admitted, sadly. They don't expect anything in return, so you stop worrying about tomorrow or the day after. Enjoy your time with Bobby and Rig, and enjoy this newfound peace and happiness.
You make it sound so easy,
Mason tossed back. It is, Max said adamantly. You've had to learn the hard way that tomorrow isn't guaranteed. You have to ask yourself, is finding someone who is willing to bring you a little happiness, no matter for how long or how brief, really such a bad thing? Even though the answer popped into Mason's head immediately, he had to analyze its significance, turn it over and over, and look at it from different angles before he could answer honestly.
Why do you always have to be right? Mason groaned.
Because I'm your big dummy head shrink, as you have so fondly referred to me, Max reminded him. It's my job to always be right, or at least guide you to find the right answer on your own. Mason briefly thought about flipping Max off, but thought that might be wildly inappropriate, and settled for sticking his tongue out instead. He'd grown to care about Max as a real friend, appreciated everything he did for him,
but fuck, could the man be infuriating sometimes?
Mason had no doubt that had Max been his dom, Mason would have his ass beaten every day, because he simply couldn't help pushing Max until that adorable, frustrated growl rumbled up from out of his massive chest. Fine. My issue with whether or not I should feel guilty is settled. He glanced down at his watch. We have exactly 19 minutes to fix my anxiety over the fact that Rig and Bobby want me to go grocery shopping with them today. Maybe even stop at the local flea market. And honestly, I'm freaking the fuck out. So you had an amazing day, and now you have a day that pushes your limits. I'd say Rig and Bobby are brilliant, Max said slyly.
Tell me again why I talked to you, Mason grumbled.
Do you feel like you're about to have a panic attack? Any racing heart, shortness of breath, tingling or numb fingers or toes? Max asked clinically.
No.
Nausea, unexplained trembling, profuse sweating, he added to the list. No, no, and no. What's your point? I'd say you're perfectly healthy and should go to the grocery store. And if any of the above symptoms begin to make you feel uncomfortable, go sit in the car until they're finished with the shopping. Max held out his hand, palm up. That will be $200, please. I'm not talking to you anymore, Mason sniffed. And I'm damn sure not paying you to tell me to sit in the fucking car. Where did you get your license anyway? Quacks R Us? Same time tomorrow. Mason bit his lip to hold back the grin that threatened, flicked his wrist daintily, and rolled his eyes. I'll be here. Now shoo, go play with your new toy. I have serious things to do. He picked up the laptop off his lap and turned, sitting it on the desk. Go sit in the car, he says. As if. Mason grumbled under his breath, but made sure it was loud enough for Max to hear him. Mason was proud of the fact that he was able to keep the aggrieved look on his face when he was fighting back a fit of laughter. Talk to you tomorrow, Max said confidently, and give those two old brilliant bastards a hug for me. The screen went blank, and Mason powered down the laptop and closed it. He headed out to where Bobby and Rig were sitting on the couch, chatting, waiting for Mason to finish his call with Max so they could head into town. Mason jumped over the back of the couch and landed between the two men. He leaned over and kissed Rig on the cheek, and then Bobby. So what's the plan for the day? I vote for staying here and playing Monopoly.
Wow, someone's in a good mood,
Rig pointed out and ran a finger down the back of Mason's neck, causing him to shudder.
Good chat with Max?
Neither man ever asked him about what he and Max spoke about, but Mason could tell they were curious. They seemed to sit on pins and needles, waiting to see if they were going to need to hold him together, or if a happy man, like the way he felt now, would emerge. Mason hummed contentedly and pushed into Rig's touch.
Yeah, it was a good chat. Max is a very sexy man when he's naked.
The finger